Well, a very good evening, Eva. Gatina Gascarema. I've got a terrace talk coming live from our studio here, live in Tralee with myself, Donald Barry. And on tonight's show, obviously we're going to have election coverage for all of you out there still hanging on to all those votes and recounts and the whole lot happening down there in Kinmare. So as it happens, we will keep you live and well abreast of that. Six seats, of course, three filled, and there's a lot of interest across the county on that as well. And we'll keep you up to date as we get information on that as well. So don't worry about that between six and eight. But tonight's show, we'll have Dan Kearney on the Kerry Ladies Senior Footballers. They're opening TG Cahir Championship opener against Donegal. It ended in a draw. We'll get his thoughts and where do we go from here. John Kennedy will be on the phone to look back at the Kerry Minor Footballers' impressive victory against Roscommon, and we might have a sneaky look ahead to the Louth game as well while we have John on the phone. And then in a week where Ireland has produced that massive results and results even in the European Athletics Championships, we chat to some of the athletic department at St. Brendan's College in Killarney, as well as their latest national champion, Oisin Lynch, as well. He'll be on the phone just after maybe 6.30, 6.35 this evening. And then after 7 o'clock this evening, we'll be catching up with a Kerry man in New York, absolutely. And we chat to Causeway's Eamon Fitzgerald on the progressive strides that New York G are taking in the world. And it's a good news story, and it's a great news story, and it's a great story that has an awful lot of Kerry connections as well. And of course, Eamon is well known to us in the show as well, the man from Causeway, of course, and most of you out there will say, sure, he's a Tralee IT fellow that went off to New York, and that is indeed who he is, so we'll catch up with him. And then we catch up with our Kerry Master Footballers at the end of the show. Another win on Saturday over Galway in my van. It makes it 3 on the trot now, and they're looking to get back to that All-Ireland final. 3 years on the road now, the Kerry Masters, and they're getting closer and closer and closer every year. So we'll catch up and get an insight into that. Now give us a call, 0667123666, or you can text us on 083 300 3300, and also on WhatsApp, of course. And we will try our best to give you a shout out this evening. Ivan, of course, is over in Killarney, but we have Keane on studio, and he's on the desk as well, answering all your calls as well. And I'll start with the first comment. We get a lot of comments in during the week as well. This one came in fairly lively after the result. Donald, can you give a massive shout out to the Kerry Senior Camogie girls who won against Kildare on Saturday? That's 3 wins in a row. Just a big well done to them, and they're really producing the goods, and they certainly are, and very well done to them. And of course, that's in the Intermediate Championship, which they are producing massive results, and we might catch up with them later as well. Now, the Kerry Senior Ladies Footballers headed to Ballybuffet, a long journey at the weekend, all the way up to Donegal to take on Donegal. And they came away honours even, Dan Kearney, a draw. A good draw, or is there a crumb and comfort in that draw, or the fact that we were 2 points up with the game nearly over? Was it one that got away, maybe?
Yeah, I suppose. Look, when you're 2 points up and you're coming down the home stretch, you'd be hoping to see it out. But unfortunately, we didn't. Conditions were absolutely appalling up there. It was raining from the very start of the game all the way through, and you could see it. You had a hard pitch. The grass cut short as you would at this time of the year, and then of course when the ball would go to ground and just skid completely off it. But no, Kerry, I suppose they would be disappointed. Probably be disappointed with their performance more than anything. You came out of there with a point. It's never easy to go to Ballybuffet. You're playing a Donegal team there that, I suppose, look, they lost the Ulster final after extra time. They took to Donegal to extra time there and just lost by a point. And so they were a decent side, playing 15 behind the ball. Very, very difficult to break down. Very difficult for Kerry to break down. But unfortunately, I felt that I think they got a free at the end to level it. I thought it was no free. I thought it was a very harsh call by the referee, and then I thought Kerry should have had a free down at the other corner then, Amy Harrington. I felt she was just blatantly pushed over the line. It was about 15 seconds left in the game and we didn't get that. So yeah, at the end of the game I thought it was a tail two freeze. Overall the game was a bit of a stinker, for anybody watching it. The number of unforced errors by both sides was phenomenal. So I think Kerry will take the draw, and they'll be looking to go to down to Killarney to play Waterford next Saturday. Still confident enough of winning that one.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course it's unlike the men's I suppose groups, where there's 4 in the men's groups, there's only 3 in the ladies groups. They go 12s, so 4 groups of 3, and basically if you don't win on your first one, you're slightly on the back foot. And not saying we're looking down the barrel of a defeat, but a defeat all of a sudden would take you from being in the championship to being in a relegation battle. So it certainly kind of doesn't give you much time to kind of make any slips, unlike the men's championship where you could lose 2, maybe even the 3rd game as well, and still get out of your group.
Yeah, dead right. And look, you're Kerry probably have the hardest group in the whole competition. Really, like that was their reward for winning Munster. You know, you got the Ulster runners up Donegal and a long trip up there, and then you welcome the 14 Munster, which happens to be Waterford, and Waterford a pretty good team. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they might have struggled in Division 1, but then they got to the relegation playoff and they beat Galway, who went on to win the kind of championship, you know, afterwards. So they're a decent bloody side, and they'll play very, very similar to the way Donegal played the last day, you know. So they're going to be very, very difficult to break down, and they have some serious players there. Like, so yeah, I'd still be confident of Kerry winning. I mean, they're like, look, Kerry have to be considered the top two in the country, really, themselves in Dublin. Like, so I'd still be confident of Kerry getting a win there. Like, but of course, it kind of puts an extra bit of pressure on them, the fact that they didn't get the win in Donegal, you know, that they have to do it. But look, it's like you said there. There's only three teams in the group, two go through. So, you know, you beat Donegal, you're on 3 points. Or you beat, you beat Waterford, you're on 3 points, and you're into the quarterfinal. So it's a simple task that's ahead, really.
Yeah. At the moment, I suppose. The one thing about it is, are teams going to treat Kerry differently this year compared to maybe previous years? I mean, Donegal sat back, they blocked up everything. Yeah. Waterford will do the same again the next evening. They're not going to be overly interested, maybe counter-attacking football, might try win a free, get a couple of scores on the board. Is this the next challenge in the kind of the evolution of the Kerry team, trying to figure out a way to beat teams who don't want to compete against you? Because we kind of went through where we were maybe a small bit behind teams, and we closed the gap, and then we kind of out-footballed them, and we became much better than them. But now we're finding that teams will put up that wall against us.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Donald. And you know, it seems to be a sort of a template that teams are going out defensive minded against Kerry. You know, look, we all know that if Kerry open up, they're going to take you to the cleaners. Like, you know, you have some of the best quality footballers in the country, and when they play free flowing football, they're going to kill you. So teams have obviously copped on to that. They're putting an awful lot of bodies behind the ball. They're frustrating Kerry, and unfortunately, look, we have to keep going back to conditions in Ballybuffet. They were absolutely terrible. They were appalling. Like, but unfortunately, like, when at times, and I'm sure the management would admit this, Kerry took the wrong options. You know, rather being patient, keeping the ball, we were kind of rushing the shot. You know, took some really poor decision making in terms of our shooting. Like, you know, and if you do that against defensive teams, like, they're going to punch you on the break. And so it was. Now, Donegal, they were a decent enough side, a very hard working side, I suppose, from that point of view. Like, mm-hmm. But they did have 15 behind the ball. So
the goal coming so early for Donegal must have been their huge tonic. I mean, we opened well, we got a point from Niamh Na Cathair, looked like we were heading on. They got the goal then. Kerry still kind of came back and they got their couple of points, and they were up, I think they were up 6 points to 1-2 maybe by the 20th minute, and they were edging on. But that goal, and particularly maybe if you're seen as an underdog team, that keeps you in it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I did, after about 3 minutes of the game. And you know, it was kind of a soft one. She was going for a point, and one of the Kerry players was kind of bearing down her and trying to block it, and she was off balance, and it was one of those ones then that kind of sneaks in, you know, in the top corner on the far side. Like, so yeah, you're dead right. You know, once they got the lead, then it was up to Kerry to try and break it down, even at that early stage of the game. Like, you know, and look, Kerry tried a number of different things. Like, they tried the long ball an awful lot. Did it work? Not that much. They got 2 points out of it, but I'd say they turned over maybe seven long balls, went in without reward, you know. So that's something they have to look at. Of course, look, one could have broken, it could have been a goal, but it didn't. We did get 2 points out of it now, to be fair. But look, I suppose against these ultra mass defences, you have to try something. Like, you know, we kicked a couple of very good long range points, must be said. Anna Galvin hit an absolute beauty, and Danielle O'Leary hit a beauty from distance as well. Like, you know, so maybe that's the way to break it down. You know, practice from, you know, well outside the D there, and get it over from there. I'm sure they're doing that at training as well. Like, you know, but yeah, look, I suppose if you look back on it, a draw was a good result. It mightn't have seemed like it after the game. The Kerry looked more disappointed than Donegal, but I think we'd be happy enough with the draw, like, and await Waterford in the next round.
Mm-hmm. one more on the game before we maybe take a look at the other groups there and see who's going well in the whole lot. Sheaf Roche making a comeback. Obviously, gone through the whole, I suppose, process of rehabilitation, getting back slowly, being with the team all the way through. Came on there with 10 minutes to go. That in itself must be a positive going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see, isn't it? You know, great to see. I mean, in fairness, she's put in the work again. You know, her second ACL, she put in the work again, and there she was on the field the last day. So that had to be hugely positive for the championship. I'm a bit worried about Louise on the other side of it then. You know, Louise only saw 4 minutes. Louise Nemeric, like the lad said, she was a bit of an eagle, so we're not too sure what the niggle is. But they said she'd be all right for the Waterford game. Like, but if you have the two of them coming in to not fully fit, you know, you're looking at a different dynamic again in the Kerry forward line. Yeah, so it's great to see Sheaf Roche. She's after a long road again. She's been with the team from what I could see every game. She's been there in the boundaries, she's been there every training as well. So good to see her back in the field. I mean, you're getting one of the top footballers in the country back in the team. It's like a new signing in a way, really.
Absolutely. And to be fair, she's waiting to get back involved in the whole lot. A quick look at the groups before we go. Our buddies Cork, I mean, it's amazing that we go out and we kind of give him a good dusting in the Munster final, coming from behind to beat him. The reward is a game against Laois, which they win.
Nice, a nice handy one, wasn't it? Like, you know, I mean, they're flipping, they're hammered.
And your point is well made. I mean, Waterford are third tier in that, and Laois are third tier in that group, of which Galway, of course, is the top tier. And the Galway team, who was the top tier in that team, lost to, like I said, Waterford. But it's an important win for Cork, though, isn't it? I mean, it keeps them in the championship and it keeps them into a quarter-final spot, maybe.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It is a big win for them. Like, and I mean, like, Cork are never going to go away. And, you know, I suppose they needed a response to losing the Munster final, and they got it. And, you know, they actually won a lot handier than I thought they would. Like, I mean, 6-13-1-5, geez, that was a massive result, like, for them, really. But it shows that Laois are fairly poor. You know, I mean, Cork of Galway next. In this competition, it's Cork and Galway are going to go through from that group. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, and Laois are the, you know, they're the fish in the bottom of the barrel.
Dublin out again against Mayo. Maybe lifted a bit longer than they normally would, but still fought a way through. And well, good winners in the end against Mayo.
Yeah, good winners in the end. You know, I think it was only 5-2 at half time or something like that. You know, but. They pulled away in the second half. So Mayo are limited. I mean, they only scored 5 points in the whole game. Dublin 1-10 again. Mayo went out defensive there. They put a lot of bodies behind the ball. Liam McHale, he likes to play that kind of football. And look, they're at the moment, it would have to be said that Dublin are ahead of everybody else. You know, they're red hot favourites for the All Ireland this year. There's no doubt about that. And they're going to come out of that group pretty handy as well. And
Kildare's the other team in that group, of course.
They'll
all expect to be Kildare. The other group, Armagh, Tipperary, and Mead. Years ago, you probably would have said, you know, Mead were going to run away with this, but Armagh only winning by a point.
But you must remember they were out Amy Mackin for the rest of the championship.
A huge loss to them, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake, it's massive. Like, I mean, it'd be like, God forbid, the Kerry senior men losing David Clifford, you know. But I mean, a massive win for them to beat me there. Like, so it's going to be very interesting there in that. I mean, who's going to come out? I'm going to come out of that group, but is it going to be Meath or is it going to be Tipperary? Like, so that's probably going to be the most interesting group. Like, we'll have to see down the line what will come out of that.
Yeah, Tipperary, no slouches either. Listen, Dan, thanks very much. We're out again next weekend.
Next weekend in Clarny, Fitzgerald Stadium at 3:00 on Saturday. So hopefully Kerry and all will give a good performance. Hopefully be a good day. They deserve a good day after the last day. Like the craters, they were absolutely drenched. Hopefully a good day in Clarny. Great pitch and a good crowd come out and look. It'll be nice. If you beat Waterford in the quarterfinal, and in my opinion, like, that's when the All Ireland Championship really starts from this Kerry team's point of view. That's when they're really going to kick on. We hope, you know. So a victory over Waterford nonetheless, would be lovely.
Yeah, it's a great day to get all the kids in and all the family members and the whole lot into Fitzgerald Stadium. I'm sure there'll be pictures and autographs and everything after it as well, because after that they'll be going on to the quarterfinals and those games won't be at home. So that's Kerry's technically last game at home this year in Fitzgerald Stadium.
It's kind of a last chance really for kids to get in there and to get pictures with their heroes. Like, so yeah, it'd be great enough if a big crowd turned up the next day.
Absolutely. Listen, Dan Kearney, fair pleasure. Thanks very much. We'll leave it there and we'll chat again next weekend. That of course is Dan Kearney. After the break we'll talk to John Kennedy about the Kerry Minor footballers.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry Minor footballers made light work of their quarterfinal championship game against Roscommon at the weekend, 3-18-2-3. John Kennedy on the line. When we were talking about getting to quarterfinals, John, you were saying every game is a tough game. They hardly would have thought this would have been as easy as it was.
No, Donald, it was a facile victory, a very impressive display by the Kerry Miners, you know, and when you get to this stage of the competition, it's rare that you get a victory like that, you know, but, you know, I suppose they carried on from their Munster final showing when they kicked 2-18 against Cork and 3-18 against Roscommon the last day, conceded two late goals. It was just a landslide victory, really, but a hugely impressive performance by a really well-drilled outfit, well-coached by Wayne and his management team. Superb physical condition, but, you know, playing some great expansive football and some exciting talent in there, you know, but a fantastic victory, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you drill down the game. I mean, some of the shooting was off the charts. I mean, you know, they at one stage they had 10 attempts on the goal in the first half, they scored 10 points. I mean, that's unbelievable, Clipping, John. No matter what team you are, whether you're a senior team or whether you're in your club team or whatever it is, 10 attempts and 10 scores, and all great scores as well. And we talked about that as well, that, like you said, you're putting up big scores, but you're putting up stylish scores, you're putting up scores from distance, you're putting up, you know, getting in and around the back in a nice little quick hand pass. They seem to be a team that kind of know what they're at.
Yeah, as I said, you're dead right, they're well drilled, they know what they're at, you know, they kick from within the zone, there's no fella forcing it. They're a very mature, they play like a mature team, even though they're young fellas, but there's a lot of experience in there. And, you know, I was reading an article by Wayne there after the weekend, and he just mentioned Ryan O'Driscoll. Seemingly he had a horrendous run of injury, yeah. broke down, came back, broke down again, but hugely exciting talent, kicked 2-1, you know. Their midfield there, Ben Murphy and Killian Dinhy, you know, leading by example. You've Ronan Carroll up there, you've Garrod White, you know, you've Beg Lake centre back, Michael Lynch full back. You know, they're all over the field. They have leaders. And you know, people will say Roscommon must have been poor. That's something that has been said. But you're only as good as the team you're playing. And Kerry have been firing. You know, the confidence is there. But I like the way they go at the game. They attack it. They're very measured. You know, there's no ball given away. They're hugely defensive when they lose possession. And the work ethic as a team is top class, you know. But the one thing, I suppose, Donald, that came out at the weekend, like, was that, you know, the victor, Armagh hammered Longford, 116-116-13. You know, that shows, like, that you know, it can happen. Very difficult to predict Minors. The only game that was close was Derry and Dublin. Derry are our next opponents in the semi-final. You know, 18 points to 2-10, I think. Close game. But Derry have 8 or 9 of last year's team. They'll be a formidable outfit as well. But again, like, it's confidence, no injuries. Going over to Innes against the Roscommon team, I was there myself. We know what it's about. Roscommon rarely have a bad minor team, you know. They weren't allowed to perform on the day, I would say that more than anything. Kerry hit the ground running, and it was a top class performance. And the expectation is out there now, and something that the management team will be trying to dampen, Donald, is that, you know, two facile victories, you know, what a performance, and it augurs well for what's down the road. Regardless what happens in the remainder of the competition, I think this shows the coaching that's going in Kerry, you know, the level of performance and the talent that's coming through, it's still there. That conveyor belt is still running.
Mm-hmm. People, like you said, they're already talking about, oh God, we haven't won one since 2018 and the whole lot and the pressure. I doubt that pressure is on these young fellas' shoulders, because like you said, minors kind of fresh away through every year, so you know they're not responsible for what happened the year before, that kind of stuff, but they will be responsible for their own destiny. And like I said, Derry next up, an Ulster team for the first time, will they pose a different set of questions maybe?
Yeah, they're allegedly they're highly rated, you know. But and invariably when a team comes from the north to a semi final and people are speaking about them, they are rated like Tyrone there before, you know. Armagh is supposed to have a decent minor team this year as well. But Derry have a lot of talent. They have the experience from last year. But look, I know that Wayne and the players and the management, they won't be looking at the fact that Tom Arkham didn't come to Kerry since 2018. This is their year, this is their team, and you know they're 60 minutes away from North Ireland, and that's the total focus, I'd imagine. And you know it'll be some battle, because I think we've two very good teams. Actually, the two semi-finals are Armagh and Mayo. You know, it has all the ingredients. Both games have been highly competitive, you know, a lot of talent in view, and very difficult to call both semi-finals.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will call them when it happens. Actually, just while you're mentioning that today, the Garda Blitz, of course, was on over in Fitzgerald Stadium, a superbly run competition for schools over there in East Kerry, and two of the referees, John, that were reffing today, one was Casper Robeck, the goalkeeper, and one was Joey McCarthy, the centre forward. So I mean, they're certainly well leveled. If you can go out and win a quarter final at your ease one day and you're reffing in the middle of a field the next day with kids and six lads and doing a great job. Come here, John, just very quickly before we go, Loud, of course, is the next team for the Jack O'Connor. Will Jack O'Connor sit down and take a look and say, listen, from here on in, it's invariably knockout. Would you expect him to kind of maybe show for the first time what he's thinking of having his real 15?
Well, I think so, Donald. This is next game is knockout. So, you know, Louth will be, we think they'll be giving us the toughest test we had in the group so far. And it'll remain to be seen, will the likes of Tadhg Marley and Graham O'Sullivan, Darragh Meinen, who weren't playing the last day, will they come into contention? Will he continue on with Dylan Casey, say, with Mike Breen centre back? You know, but the competition is there, Donald, but it's about going to Portlaoise and putting down a marker now, I think, before we get to that quarter final.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't expect anything less than a win, would you, John?
No, I wouldn't expect anything less than a win. I think Louth have done well. They're 3 points on the table, beating Meath and drawing with Monaghan. They will be in the quarter final, or at least in the preliminary quarter final. They've done well. You know, the likes of Craig Lennon, Conor Grimes and Sam Mulroy, Ryan Burns and Kieran Downey, these are top class players. I believe there's one of their wing backs is out with a suspected cruciate. But very well drilled by Brennan, and you know they have a system. They'll be difficult to break down, but we need that. We need a real battle the next day, and we need a competitive game, I think, before we go into that quarter final. Liam and myself have said that you don't want to go in cold. And Kerry are moving along without setting anything alight, but from now on, the business is starting.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if Liam was here now, he'd be talking about, you know, goals and, you know, Kerry need goals and all that kind of crack. Come here to me. The one thing that's impressive about Loud was last year, people kind of said when we went up and we kind of gave him a bit of a dolling above in Portlaoise, that was kind of the end of them, and there was a 1 year wonder and the whole lot. And then, of course, Mickey Hart went away. Sure, Brennan is after coming in, and they're still there. I mean, they're possibly even better this year than they were last year.
I agree with you, yeah. I think they did, and people are saying, oh, that's the end of now, and Mickey has gone. But Joe Brennan has come in, very focused guy, you know, has been there with Dublin, with Vincent, knows what he's at, doesn't get carried away, but he seems to have he's got the loud public behind him. He seems to have that support. You know, they seem to be a very united group, and, you know, they're probably punching above their weight, and they'll relish the task of taking on Kerry in Portlaoise, because look, the Leinster final, it was about improving from last year. They did that. Now they probably will want to see, can they improve against Kerry? It's a building block, and it's a stepping stone for them. But we'd expect Kerry to win comfortably in the end and progress to the quarter final.
Fair play, John. We'll see you both there in the cheap seats. Liam Ross, and of course, will be eye in the sky with Timmy and the gang. He might even talk to us that day. You never know, John, would you?
We can't all be in the good seats, though, Donald.
You know. I know. Are you seeing off that better on the sideline? Listen, John Kennedy, thanks very much. That was John Kennedy, of course, looking back at that fantastic win for Kerry over Roscommon and looking ahead to Kerry against Louth. After a break, we talk St Brendan's College and we look specifically at their athletics team.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Right. Now, back in studio, we're joined by Rachel Bowler, of course, and Laura Hallisey. You might have heard them on the show a while ago, of course, because they're with the St. Brendan's College in Killarney Athletics Department. We'll call it department. It sounds good. They all say department. So we'll go to the department on that one. Arthur, of course, is out running around some field over in Corns or somewhere like that. But they've also brought three of their kind of, I suppose, up-and-coming talents. Oisín Lynch is on the phone, and we'll join him shortly, but we also have Isaac Vickers, and we have the guy with the fantastic name, which I'm going to tell say to yourself,
Dominic Wasila.
Wasila, there you go. Okay, absolutely, and absolutely, he's a Clarny man, of course, and St. Oliver's, and we'll give him his title as well. Mr. Sullivan will be delighted with you. Listen, the last time we were talking to you, we were kind of after the Munster Championship, Rachel, and we were looking ahead to kind of the National Championships. We had all our fingers crossed, and you were running around cross country and the whole lot. But this is the other side of the athletics department, in a sense, the guys that kind of run and jump as well. It seems to be growing all the time by, is it?
Yeah, it's growing the whole time by us. And I suppose having the track in our school is fantastic. You know, it's the heart of our school. We use it for PE, we use it for our training. And it's great to have the facilities like the Shotput area, the long jump. Because that's when we might spot athletes who could have potential and who could win us medals and could represent the school very well. So yeah, quickly after cross country, we switched our focus to the track and field, where our students competed at county level and at South Munster level, and of course at Munster level as well, where Dominic and Isaac were spotted and were asked to compete on behalf of their province in the Tailteann Games. So yeah, that was a fantastic
it's a big
achievement.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Laura, there seems to be kind of more and more people kind of, I suppose we're watching the European Championships at the moment, we're all hooked in for those 4 or 5 days and everybody thinks they can go out now and run a 4x400 and the whole lot, and obviously they can't, but the fact that they're getting this coverage and even people are thinking about doing it, the chance that schools are facilitating it is a huge help.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. I suppose they've all been hooked to the European Championships. Just before we came in, we were discussing it, but I suppose it's great to see the likes of Ciara McGeen and, you know, the 4x4. I suppose it's great inspiration and drive for our lads where the sport can take them, and I suppose the heights that they can achieve with athletics. So yeah, I suppose we're trying to foster athletics within the school and, you know, strive to improve every time. So yeah.
Absolutely. Dominic, you only took up long jumping a year ago? 2 years ago?
That was a year and a half ago, I'd say.
Wow, absolutely. Why did you never think about it before the year and a half? Did you never kind of say a year or not at all? Or how did you even think about it?
Well, athletics is like a bit of a niche sport, so you never really see it before it comes up naturally. So like, well, my friends originally offered and said that I'm fast and I should probably take it up. So that's what I did. I joined the school team and I'm here now.
Yeah, and of course, with the help of the fantastic long jump pit that you have down there at the corner, it's a very technical sport though, isn't it?
Oh, there's a lot of like different aspects to it that how you have to get perfected in order to get a good jump, so it's very hard, but it's very rewarding as well.
And then you get a good jump, don't you? Well, and it's known as your personal best. What is it at the moment?
At the moment it's 6.26, so...
Wow. How long is 6.26 in old feet? It's a lot of feet. We'll ask the teachers.
I'd say that's around like 22 feet.
Yeah. So just to put it in context, you can jump from one end to the other end 22 feet and you still feel you can go a little bit further.
I can, yeah.
Yeah. What will make you go further? Is it the better technique? Is it the better track? Is it the better training? Is it strength? What do you think will push
I'd
you?
I'd say I should like work on strength in the gym maybe. Even technical stuff, there's still aspects that I can perfect.
Mm-hmm. When you're watching it on the television, it comes across as a very mental type of game as well, because you have to hit the board, obviously, to get a jump. Is that kind of frustrating when you do everything right and then you kind of fall and you kind of, God, I have to go back and do it again?
Yeah, because it looks so easy on television, but then when you do it yourself, you just notice how hard it is.
Yeah. And the training, I presume, is very different in the sense, while all the other guys are running around doing laps, the whole lot, you're kind of over in the corner doing your own thing and maybe counting down your steps and marking your jump and the whole lot. Is it easier for you to kind of work alone on that, or are you that kind of person that, yeah, you know, like it's just me against the board or me against the pit?
I do prefer to work alone because, like, then you have your own mind. You can, like, focus on the technique and different aspects of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that silver medal you won above in Munster.
Well, it was a tough battle because there was a lot of, like, class athletes there. And the track there wasn't ideal as well. So, like, you had to really focus up and, like, warm up and get focused into the game.
Yeah. And, of course, then you get the call and you're on the Tarleton team. What's that like?
That was unexpected totally because at the time I didn't think I got in, but then they sent me the email I saw and I was shocked.
Like, and you being the only Dominic Vasile in the whole school, obviously, yeah, it was you, yeah. Not anybody else, was it?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Come here, Mr. Vickers. There's more Vickers around the place, but this is Isaac this evening. 800 metres as well. Ran a personal best of 2:01 to win the Munsters.
Yeah.
You didn't ease up at all, did you?
No, I kind of did in the first lap, but then the second lap I kind of kicked on and it was like going for the win, you know.
Yeah. Do you know that in an 800 metre race that when you're running it, that I would just think you go and you just run from start to finish, but obviously that isn't the way it is at all. You're kind of technical without it.
No, it's a very like tactical race, in fairness to it. Like the first 100 metres, like everyone goes as hard as they can really to see where you like start off. And in the Munster race, I kind of was boxed up and around 5th, 6th place. And then like going into the second lap, I was in 5th, and with 300 to go, I was like fully boxed, so I like went wide and got into second place and carried that on to like the last 100 metres and passed the guy who was in first and then didn't stop and just won it out then.
Yeah, you obviously must have a lot of gears, you know, when you're kind of stop starting and the whole lot and you're kind of on a stride, next thing you're running to two people who are in front of you, maybe kind of slowing you down intentionally. Are people running races tactically in the sense knowing that I can get around here in 2:04, but I don't want to run any faster at the start of it because I won't have anything in the tank at the end of it?
I'm sure like I suppose they will be like trying to like obstruct other runners as well so they don't beat them, I suppose. But like everything's tactical, knowing like how fast you are going into the race. And but like on the day everything's different. Like I didn't expect to run 2:01 now the last day because I've been injured for the last year, and like the my PB before that race was only 2:03, so like taking a second and a half off my PB with like not as much training as I should be having, mm-hmm, it's kind of unreal. And yeah, then to
it
win
means
it out,
you're well ahead of the curve and you still have all that block of training to come,
yeah,
which will
exactly
really improve, which is huge. The injury, I mean, is it frustrating to be kind of injured at this kind of young age and saying, God, I mean, if I was in that race I'd have won it, and God, if I was in that race I probably would have come second or I would have set a time. Is it just slow to come back, or do you kind of rush yourself back, or do you kind of really say, look, this injury takes 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, I just have to kind of step by step it?
Well, the injury I got was like a stress fracture in my knee, and that took me out for at least like 9 to 10 months. And then when I came back, I went out too hard going, and then I got injured again and again. So like, it wasn't smart going back out straight full whack, but I did it anyway. And sure, it's got me here, and I'm running PBs again and yeah, winning races, but sure.
Is it nice to get back on the track after injury, is it?
Oh, it's unreal, because watching all the people just get better and better while you're just sitting on the sideline, and then my brother, of course, winning everything. It's just not a great
He's
feeling.
Very modest, isn't he? He probably wouldn't tell you he won half the races.
Oh, he'll tell me everything.
Yeah, absolutely, but sure, how bad? Sure, listen, you could sit in the wall with your man doing the long jump there for 10 months and give him a bit of advice. On the line, Oisin Lynch. Of course, Oisin has gone one step further. Munster champion, national champion. Oisin, congratulations. I dare say old Con Lynch will be delighted with you, would he?
Yeah, he will.
I suppose he was running up and down the sideline with you as well. Come here, you were here with us before. I mean, tell us what you've been doing since, because obviously you've been adding Munster titles and national titles and a whole lot. What kind of confidence does that give you, Oisin?
Yeah, it gives you big confidence. Like, it's been a busy couple of weeks now. May is always a couple of busy weeks in racing, so I've kind of had a race nearly once or twice a week at least over the last month. So I started off with the South Munsters, and I was just kind of getting through the rounds there, and I had a big race in Belfast, so I had to be fresh for that. And I ran a personal best in the first 800 of the season up there, so I knew I was going well. Came down then to the Munster schools and won that. It was quite tactical and slow and messy. Went away to Manchester then and ran another PB, so I knew I was on form coming into the Nationals. And you know, there was only one way to do it, and it was just go from the gun. I knew I was kind of on paper, I was kind of the strongest in the field, so But, you know, to turn up and do it is another thing. So it was nice to get that national title in my last year in school.
And, of course, you had a massive first lap, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Fairly fast for the first lap. I think it was 53.1 or something. So had to go hard. I knew there was a couple of fast finishers in the field that was could challenge me in the end, so I wasn't going to be waiting around for them.
All right, okay. They could be battling down the back end of the straight, but you'd be out ahead. Come here, I mean, what does that do for you? Because obviously, like when we had you on before, you're hugely invested in athletics. It seems to be your trajectory. It's the sport of your choice, obviously, and you're damn good at it as well, and you're winning, and I suppose winning kind of maybe gives you the hunger to win more and go further. Where's the trajectory going in this, Oisin?
Yeah, well, look, it takes a lot of hard work, but it's what I want. You know, I want to go to the top in it, so I'm going after America now in August on scholarship. So that's kind of the next step for me at the moment. So, you know, it's all the hard work starting to pay off.
And it's a good next step, obviously. I mean, obviously, to be accepted, first of all, to go, you have to hit such a level. But it's a way that an awful lot of Irish athletics people go. I mean, scholarships are the way to go. You'll get your training, you'll get your races. And obviously, you'll be introduced to a whole new world of racing over there as well.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, it's a different league out there completely. Like, the talent at the moment underage in Ireland is coming on a lot, but what you have out in America is no comparison. Like, just like for me to get a good race in Ireland now, you're talking about going to Belfast or, you know, and that's, or even England, to be honest. But like over there, you have a top class field any week you want.
Yeah. I'll just hold you there for 2 seconds, Oisin, if you don't mind. Have you huge interest in politics? Have you? You will know in a second. So we're going to cut straight across to Killarney, where the next count is coming in for the Kinmare local election.
Sorry for interrupting you there. We're just going to the Killarney Count Centre, where we're joined by Mark Lynch.
Thank you, Fiona. Welcome back to the Killarney Sports and Leisure Complex. We are on the ninth count now of the Kinmare local electoral area. This is the distribution of the votes of Tim Clifford of the Social Democrats.
Mark, are you able to hear us?
The Kinmare local electoral area, which consisted of the distribution of Tim Clifford.
Okay, we'll rejoin that.
And of course, there you go. We'll get back to Killarney when we'll get that back in a second. Rachel, I mean, obviously, I mean, we were talking to Oisin there, and we'll get back to Oisin in a moment. They're huge stories. They're great stories, and they're all coming out of your school.
Yes, and I suppose when we had such success in the All-Ireland track and field, it showed that we're not only able to succeed at cross-country level, but we're also able to translate it over to the track. And I think that's reflective of the students we have in the school and the drive they have, and I suppose the variety of talent we have over there as well. It's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, Laura, when they go back and listen to the results and how they won the whole lot, and there's new kids coming through every year, obviously there's new first years going in this year, it's the one thing about it, there is kind of a wheel there. How excited are you then to kind of maybe broadcast the new kids coming in that, well, look, this is what has happened if you join the athletics club, this is the results we have, and obviously, I mean, you know, as I said, I don't know how many are coming in, 120, 150, whatever. I mean, obviously there's 3 or 4 talented athletics people there to find.
Yes, of course, we'd be very eager for any first years joining us to get involved with athletics. I suppose we'll try and get them as soon as they come in. We start athletics training pretty much from September on, and hopefully next year we're hoping to have an athletics event at the start of the year to get them hooked. I suppose even last year we got Oisin Lynch and Jason O'Reilly in to speak to the younger athletes, I suppose to tell them about their athletics career so far, and you know what the sport has done for them and what's possible if you stick with it and commit to it. So it's very exciting for new athletes coming in, and even just with our minor.
Isaac, are you looking at the European Championships?
I am, yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, we'll be all racing home there at 10 to 9 tonight to watch it, maybe even at 8:30 as well for the hammer throw as well, the Tootle girl from Bendon. What's your highlights so far?
The highlights from the Europeans? I watched last night the men's 800 metres when Gabriel Toole won in like 1:54. It was a good race, in fairness to him. Like, I also watched Kira McGean, who had some battle to win her 1500 metres, and like, it's a huge boost for like all the upcoming talent in Ireland, and like myself anyway. Like, seeing how she's getting on, that's just like how I want to get on with my athletics career as well, like winning Europeans and going on to Worlds and Olympics and all sorts.
And Ciara McGeehan, a great story, obviously. I mean, she came third, she came second, she came fourth, she's 32 years old, she's quite a long time, huge career and the whole lot. And athletics is that kind of sport that you have to kind of commit and keep going and keep going and keep going, because you will have bad results as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, say in a football game, you can go 90%, 80%, but in athletics, you can't stop. You have to go and go and go all the time. There's no taking a break. There's always, you have to, like, put 100%, or you're not going to get anything out of it.
And are you happy at the 800 metres?
I'm happy enough with it, but it's a killer event. Like, you're dead at every time when you get to the finish line.
Yeah. You have to invest everything you have for as long as you can, and it does take the soul out of you, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. It's really hard, like, the event to train for all the time, and like, you'd have to get 5 to 6 days training a week. Like, it's just a lot of commitment.
Mm-hmm. A lot of commitment as well, Oisin, by you. I mean, the 800 metres, is that your race of choice? Or seeing that you'll go on a scholarship now, they'll have you probably racing cross country and 100 metres and all sorts of things to kind of figure out where you are. But by choice, is 800 what you're most comfortable with?
Yeah, at the moment, anyway, it's the 800. But like you mentioned there, you touched on the cross country and stuff. I think to be a good 800 runner, you know, you have to be quick, which that comes with a speed training, but you have to be fit as well. Like, it's nearly 60% aerobic. Like, so, like, that's where the cross country comes in. I still do the cross country because, like, I still compete nationally in cross country, but if you do the cross country, you're going to be fit all season for track. So it definitely plays a part in the 800 running, and I'm sure I'll have to do that over in America as well, but it's all positive.
Mm-hmm. And what's left in your season, Oisin, at the moment? I mean, obviously the schools has come to an end for you, but I mean, what's left across the summer?
I have a few more races, actually. Belfast next weekend, and probably followed by another meet over in Manchester or England. Hopefully to go that sub-150 will be the next aim. And then I'll have the outdoor with the clubs with Killarney Valley, where I'd hope to chase another national title there. So
mm-hmm. The sub-150, is that a thing in your mind now that you have to get there, have to break it? I mean, obviously it's a nice marker to have, but is that the way that you will train your mind now, to break kind of times and improve times rather than maybe collect medals as such?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, a time is something, but a championship, you know, that can never be taken away from you. Like, times matter to a certain extent, but like, say, if you're winning national titles, like, you're always going to have them to your name, whereas the times don't matter as much. But to qualify for fast championships and stuff, you need the times. So I think the 150 is definitely something I'm after. A few years ago, I was kind of to break 2 minutes when I was kind of the lad's age, and like, that's a good mark to hit. Mm-hmm. Now it's another step, you know, I have to try to get after the sub-150. So yeah, it's a good way to think, anyways.
So you'll have to stay ahead of Isaac Vickers by a couple of seconds, because he will be chasing you down, is it?
Yeah, nah, it's all good. There's something to chase anyway, so that's what
it means. Well, I suppose sometimes is it better to be the hero or the hound? You have to figure that one out yourself. Come here, Dominic. Thanks very much, Oisin, and we leave you there, and the very best to look to you and your continued career, and maybe give us a shout from America there, maybe come Christmas time or something, we might catch up and see how we're getting on.
Sure,
Dominic, while the rest of them are running around the place, you don't have to run as hard, really, obviously, but what's your training like now coming in, because now you're on the Telsen Cup team?
Well, now training's a bit like simple for long jumpers anyway, but you know, it's hard. Like, we come in three times a week, and we jump around. We still have sprint just to keep up with the speed, jump out the pit, obviously. But then, like, we have gym work as well, like sometimes once a week maybe, and like just the single, like, there's a jump training, there's like sprint training, so like sprinters have just one thing maybe, mm-hmm. distance have one thing, but long jumpers have like loads of different things they have to train separately. Yeah.
And that's funny that you mentioned that, because that might even open a career for you as a heptathlete as well, obviously, because I mean, or the decathlete, obviously, because I mean, you know, you have the running. I presume you'd love to do a bit of high jumping, would you?
Well, I don't think I'm the, like, I'm a bit on the shorter side, so.
Right, okay, so you're giving up a bit before you ever get off the ground, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, bad. Come here, it must be hugely exciting that the season goes around, because as soon as the Munster's over and the All-Ireland's over, Laura, it's next summer break and you're off, you go again. I mean, what will you be doing when the new kids come through? Are you looking for talent? I mean, obviously, I mean, people will talk about the football and they'll talk about the soccer and they'll talk about everything. But athletics in itself, I mean, it's a fantastic sport. And as the guys have said, there's a world aspect to it. I mean, here we have a guy getting a scholarship all the way across to America out of as well, and we have national champions made out of people as well. How important is it to kind of settle in with the kids? I suppose we call them kids, but I mean, obviously, first years and second years, they're not kids nowhere, are they? No, they're gone beyond kids, are they? Challenging kids, I suppose, that's it. How are you going to get on with the challenging kids when they come in and they want to get involved in the athletics club, Laura?
I suppose we're going to strive for improvement every year, and of course, with that, we'll be trying to get the incoming first years on board. So, as I said earlier, I suppose we'll get them in September and we'll bring them along to training and try and get them hooked from the beginning. And I suppose even our minor boys team, in the All-Irelands in the track and field, they took the bronze medal in the relay. We also had our junior boys relay team in the All-Irelands, and they had got there in their minor category as well. So I suppose there's a great growth in the sport in the school, and I suppose each year we're getting more and more athletes. So we hope to continue that with the incoming first years and to build on that. And I suppose when they see the success of, you know, Dominic, Isaac, Oisin and all the other athletes, Ryan, everyone that's been involved, I suppose it'll drive them on to hopefully pick athletics and run for St. Brendan's.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, final 60 seconds, see how fast you can run around the lap in that. But how important is athletics in somebody's life?
It's hugely important. Like, it's a lonely sport, an individual sport, but it's hugely rewarding. Like, you can see there, Oisin, like, being awarded the scholarship. Like, there's so many avenues that can bring you down, and I think there's a lot to be said for it and staying at it, committing to it. And we can see, like, we won the best track and field school in the county this year for the boys. We won the best minor school in the country for the All-Ireland track and field, and we also won the best school in the Munster for the cross country. So, like, the lads have picked up so much silverware. It's hugely recognised by our principal Sean Coffey as well, and by myself, Laura and Arthur in St. Brendan's. Yeah,
and of course, like, it's a great sport, obviously. I mean, it's the kind of sport, but then I suppose we're in such a world where everybody's so busy. I mean, one person can, like I said, shot put, long jump and the whole lot, so there is something for everyone as well.
There's something for everyone in the sport. Yeah, running, jumping, field events, shot put, pole vault even, yeah, which we have in our track as well at the moment. It's just brilliant. Yeah,
we need a pole vault for next year, so okay. Good stuff. Listen, thanks very much. The very best look, guys. Up next is the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
No, my next guest left a life of, I suppose, caused by hurling behind and headed to New York 2 years ago. And in the meantime, has, I suppose, overseen and certainly has definitely seen some massive progressive changes in the sport, particularly in the Big Apple. And it's great to have him on the line because it's very timely as well, because we're going to discuss an awful lot of New York stuff. Eamon, good afternoon. Are you afternoon or evening? Your evening. Afternoon, probably.
Afternoon. Hi, Donald. How are you?
Fair play to you.
Just 2 o'clock here.
Good man. Just about the time that you get out of bed in Causeway now, is it?
About that time, all right. Yeah.
Good stuff. Come here, Eamon. There's an awful lot happening in New York as well, hitting the headlines. Can we talk about the Laois game yesterday? Because, God, for one couple of minutes, it was like Leitrim, nearly another Leitrim result, but this time you were on turf over here and you played exceptionally well. Was it well brought at the fact that you got so close, or was it like all GAA games after, say, God, we might have left that slip through our hands, maybe?
I suppose, look, the team is prepared very well. They had a new manager this year, Alan O'Mara, and I suppose they started just before Christmas with gym sessions and all that, and they've had a big panel of players in. I suppose over here it's a bit different. We don't get the opportunity to play challenge games, or we don't get the opportunity to play league games. So there's a lot of in-house games, and I suppose, you know, a lot of preparations. Obviously the Mayo game, they kind of, you know when you're playing Mayo that you're going to be up against it, and they just went out, I suppose, that day to give as good an account as they can. And I suppose after that it was kind of like press the reset button, and they got back at it a week later, and I suppose put a lot of preparation in over the last number of weeks as well for this. I suppose it can be hard to know who you're playing until a week before, so you kind of just focus on yourself. But yesterday, in fairness, I watched it on GA go there, but it was the boys put in a good performance, and I suppose the way it coming out after, it's kind of disappointment that, you know, they didn't get the result they wanted. Like, there was a goal opportunity there midway through the second half, and it wasn't taken, and I think Leash went down and got their goal straight after, and that was probably, you know, the main turning point of the game. Up to that, it was level all throughout, really. And in fact, New York obviously went in a point ahead at half time, so I think disappointment will be the major, I suppose, feeling after it. You know, so close, and then it's so far away, you know, losing by 4 points, but probably one that they'll feel that they definitely could have got a result out of.
And that, the way you summed up, kind of measures where New York are now. Maybe a couple of years ago it would have been kind of a trip back to Ireland, the whole lot, but it's not seen like that anymore. I mean, they're gone as professional as all the other counties are, and it's particularly in the Tailteann Cup and the whole lot. And you took on a very good Leash team who had a very good league. I mean, they were powering through an awful lot of teams and games as well. How difficult is it? You mentioned Alan O'Mara coming in doing the gym sessions, and it's all in-house and the whole lot, but we'll say just the logistics of getting a team from New York to Ireland just to play a match.
Yeah, it's really tough going, because, like, even, I mean, people probably don't even realise that, okay, if they win, all right, all these boys have to go back to their bosses and say, right, I'm after winning the game, you know, can't wait to stay on in Ireland for another week, you know. So even something like that was going to be another, you know, big thing for the lads to be able to navigate. I suppose the big, like, you're trying to book flights and all that, and, like, they flew into Shannon, and I suppose you're trying to think, okay, where do we locate ourselves? Because you don't know, you know, they could be in playing Antrim, or they could be in playing Limerick, you know. So the, I suppose the logistics of it can be tough enough. So they base themselves in Mullingar, which obviously is obviously, so I suppose it can be tough just to kind of, you know, navigate through all that, where to stay, you know, when to actually leave, because obviously, you know, players are going to be tired after flights and all that. So they left on Wednesday night. I think they were left go back to their families and friends, anyone that wanted to. Basically, they got in Thursday morning early, so they were allowed to go back to their families and friends, and they'd be back in the hotel then for Friday night. So kind of prep started Friday night, we'll stay at home, did a kick around on Saturday, and I know they got into the O'More Park on Saturday as well. So, and then they're actually, they're back in Ireland today, and they're flying out tomorrow, a lot of them, and I think actually some back today. So again, it kind of depends on what kind of line of work they're in and whether they need to back. So there's a lot of logistics in it, a lot of things to navigate, so it can be quite tough. And then I suppose, look, you know, you're carrying a panel of players, you know, even you're not just carrying your 26, you have to carry your 30 players, because who's, you know, if you pick up an injury and you do and you are successful, you know, you still need players to call on for the week after and all that. So it can be there's a lot to, I suppose, navigate through, but in fairness, they're quite organised, and you know, they all, you know, they get the preparation in well, and they get in early as well, so they do a good job, in fairness.
And of course, it's kind of an outlier, because next year you'll be very busy, because you're in the Lawrie Maher as well for 2025. How exciting is that for New York?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, a lot of work has gone into getting New York to this stage. Richie Hartnett from Ballyhoig, is the chairman of the hurling here in New York, and obviously Joan Hinchy from Tabert is the chairperson of New York GA. So the two of them have put a lot of work into getting New York to this stage. So step one of it was basically to see if we could get a team into the Connacht League and be competitive in that, and I suppose not even just be competitive, but I suppose even see if we can be, I suppose, you know, get teams back to it and be consistent in our approach to it and consistent in entering the competition. So we did that, and luckily enough, we had good success in it. We won the Shield 2 years ago, and we won the Cup there back in January. So I suppose that kind of helped in our case, I suppose, you know, Tuchel Park and getting us in. I suppose we put our case forward that, look, yeah, we have been consistent, we are getting lads out, training the same as any other team, and this is something we're serious about. So delighted when we got the news there a couple of months back that we're going to be taken into the Lawrie Maher for next year. So the hurling here, like, even the buzz around the place because of it, you know, it's great excitement about it. So hopefully we'll get everyone putting their hand up to be involved in that, all the best players here, American born players, Irish players, you know, get as much as we can into it, into our squad, and prepare for that as well as best we can.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you competed in the Ulster Hurling Championship there around 2000-2006, so I suppose some of the older fellas will have had a taste of that maybe in the nostrils as well. Come here, you mentioned Irish players and homebred players as such. Fela over the years, I mean, everybody waits for New York to arrive because, you know, they're coming and they're winning and the whole lot. Talk to us about your Fela, first of all, and then maybe we can branch on to where maybe some of those players are going and are they making it through to maybe senior level later. Very successful Fela outfit by you at every level, boys and girls.
Yeah, so I suppose with the girls, I suppose they've been the kind of the success story the last couple of years. Our Fela ladies football team basically have they've won the All-Ireland Division 1 in 2 years, which is a huge achievement, but they put an amount of work into it, fundraising, training, the whole lot, like all the logistics that we spoke about there. You know, they put an amount of effort. Every Fela team has a tour manager, so you know there's an amount of work that goes into it. But the Fela, they've got 2 great years. They've been training hard again over the last number of months. Basically, their trials, there's about maybe this year, I think there was just over 50 girls try out for the squad. They basically try out for it, and it's whittled down into 26 players. And again, they're going back to Ireland again, you know, they'll be playing Division 1, and I suppose, you know, the hopes will be high again that they can compete fairly well in that. Moving on to our Camogie, it's that's been a massive success story for us as well. Last year we organised a development trip for Camogie girls. Basically they were the only team that hadn't, you know, run competing in Fela competition, so that's somewhere we wanted to get them. Then that we were accepted into the Fela this year as well for Camogie, so again same thing, that team has been preparing well, fundraising, training all over the last number of months, and we have we've 21 girls gone back for the Fela. They're leaving actually on the 18th, which is tomorrow week, and they're going back to Ireland, really looking forward to it. You know, it's a historic occasion for them girls to be involved in this. You know, it's like I said, the first ever Camogie team that we'll have in a Fela. And then with the boys teams, we've got the Fela Hurling, who compete in Division 4 of the Fela. They lost out in the cup final last year, so again same thing, they've been competing or preparing well over the last number of months. And our Division 1 Fela football team, basically they go home as well, and they have a tough group this year. There's a Kerry man over them actually this year, Kenny O'Connor from Glencar. So basically they're actually going to be in Kerry for a number of days, basically preparing. They've been playing a couple of challenge games. They've been actually in contact with TJ Reed, officers, over the last number of weeks. Basically he's helping them out with challenge games and all that, and they'll be based in Killarney, so they'll be well prepared as well when they go back to Ireland. They're in with Ballincollig and St Bridget's and Castlebar and their group, sort of a tough group, but look, there's a nice squad there as well, and they'll be well able for that as well.
I'm sure any team like Kenny O'Connor is training, he'll make them tough anyway, because he was a tough minor back in the day himself. Let's go back to the Camogie, because I think you're running into Killard, are you? Your cousins nearly?
Yeah, which is actually, you know, it's great, because like I suppose my niece actually, Aveen, she plays full back for the Killard team, and when I saw the draw, I rang last week and I was talking to her, so she was giving nothing away to me anyway. You know, I was asking her who are their good players and all that, but
shut down straight away.
Exactly, yeah. So you know what, it's nice though, you know, when you know that it's a local team. Like last year we brought that Camogie team down to Causeway, and they played played Abbey Colleagues and had some great games with them. They were up around Galway and Limerick and Offaly and these places as well and played games. But you know, the Causeway Camogie Club put on a great night from the out in Causeway that night. So again, they're looking forward to going back and playing Killard. Killard will be pretty strong, I'd say. I know they only lost their final to Tralee Parnell, so Killard will be pretty strong. So we're under no illusions of, you know, what's ahead of us there. But look, at the end of the day, it's our first year, so you know, anything getting there is great for us, and you know, getting to play these games. So any kind of result or performance we playing is going to be, you know, a huge bonus for us, basically.
Yeah, and of course it's all about the memories too on the other side of it. Come here, let's talk about the Leitrim win, because obviously we've got a few texts in already asking about the Leitrim win. How important was that, and how enjoyable was it?
Oh, it was huge. It was a great day in Gaelic Park. I suppose it was my first, I moved over in August 2022, so it was my first taste of a New York Championship game. So I actually got to be on that day because we were organising, you know, like seven aside blitzes and stuff at half time. So just even being on there, you know, throughout the game, and go, you know, they finish level and then they got extra time, and it's you know, I suppose over and back, you don't know which way it's going to go, and then it's blown up, it's a draw, and you know you're going to penalties, and just being there, and I suppose it was just the way it ended up. Mikey Brosnan, who's got Kerry blood, as you probably know as well, his father Mike Brosnan is knocking the gosh thing.
He won man the match in the county championship when St. Cairns won it, so that's the quality that he had.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, Mikey, you know, one of the American players, I suppose, you know, stepping up to take the last penalty to win it to New York, and then you just see the crowd explode in, you know, it meant so much to the people, like, you know, you look around that night and there was, I suppose, people who'd been there for years, and, you know, you could see how emotional they were about it, and, you know, it was just absolutely, you know, it was brilliant to be there and to witness this, like, you know, some unbelievable scenes there, like, so... meant an awful lot. Obviously, it was their first win, so huge night. They celebrated the win, in fairness, as well. You know, they'd around Woodlawn was crazy that night and the next evening as well. It was, you know, there was bars full with Leitrim and New York people and all that. There was a great atmosphere all over the weekend there. And I suppose it was a huge weight off their shoulders just to get that first win. So look, that's something like, you know, that'll definitely live long in my memory, just getting to witness it, I suppose. But even for the players involved, like, it was, you know, a huge occasion for them, and, you know, something they'll be able to look back on in years to come, and, you know, with great pride as well.
Yeah, absolutely, a number of them Kerry players as well. Come here, Eamon, since you left North Kerry and headed over to New York, do you get a different perspective of how difficult the GAA is for exiled people? Because obviously when you're above in Causeway and you're worrying about what Kilmile you're doing down the road, or Ballyhig are doing in the road, or the whole lot, or even when you were at the college and you're worrying about different college teams. But when you're taken out of that structure and you're kind of planked in the New York structure, do you get an appreciation for how hard it is, or maybe it's not that hard at all?
You do, I guess, but I suppose the one thing I will say is when I got over here, like, obviously there's been unbelievable amount of work has gone in over the last number of years here. Like, you have they do a spring league and a fall league here, so the spring league starts in April and actually just finished up. A lot of our competitions, hurling and all that, finished up yesterday, and we've got our finals for the football next weekend, so finishing up over these 2 weeks basically, and we start back up then in September and go on till the third week in November, so it's kind of like two seasons as such. The summer is kind of, with the weather being so warm, and I guess with failure teams going back, they kind of, and with other sports as well, they just, you know, take that couple of months off. But like, when I got over here, I didn't know what to expect. I suppose obviously I'd done a bit of research into it and seen how many clubs are here, and like they run like kind of a county league structure, kind of for underage. So like, you've your 8s all the way up to under 21s, and then obviously your senior competitions. But like, the football have, you know, every one of them competitions has 7 or 8 teams in it, and then you've got a development division, what's called a B division, and we renamed it this year to a development division. Basically, like, the smaller clubs, I suppose, or even the bigger clubs, second teams, like, we run 7-a-side competitions every week, so basically every Saturday for 6 weeks we run 7-a-side competitions from 8s up to 14s basically, and like, we have maybe between 50 and 70 games, 7-a-side games every Saturday for the kids. Like, there's serious structures in place for the football here. The hurling, I suppose, a small bit different, as you don't have the same number of clubs, so you've got like, and the camogie is the same, the ladies football and the football, when I say the football, it's basically both the same kind of, you've got the 6, 7, 8 clubs in their groups. The camogie and the hurling is slightly different. You've got 3 clubs, Rockland, Lekela and Shannon Gales. So they kind of, you know, they obviously don't get as many games, so you're trying to do different things for them, I suppose. So obviously, you know, they play each other in their normal county league games, we call it, or their championship games. And then you're trying to put on like 7s competitions, or, you know, different kind of competitions for them, that, you know, just to give them different kind of forms of games, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. The camogie the same, a smaller number of teams. This year we're delighted though that we had Rangers into our team this year, so we have a 4th under 10 team. They entered it under 8s and 10s, so we had a 4th team in the camogie this year, so that's great. It's, you know, it's progress anyway, in regard to getting the number of players out. So I suppose you can see how hard that is, and you know, the need for more competition for them, more games for them to keep them going, because the biggest issue here is other sports and, you know, tread of other sports, basically. Obviously, yeah, you'd encourage kids to play in every sport, but, you know, you need them to still be playing the GA and all that, but if they're not getting meetings or meaningful competition, you know, a lot of time they'll fall away from it. So, yeah, I suppose you get a sense of, you know, okay, what can I do better here, or what can I change to make this better? So I suppose there are some similarities to home in the way things are run here, and, you know, the structures are in place, but then at the same time, I suppose you're constantly kind of trying to think outside the box and see, okay, what else can you do for them, you know, to give them extra games.
You'll have plenty of work ahead of you anyway. I don't think you'll ever get back to Ireland with all the plans and the whole lot. Listen, Ian, thanks for joining us this evening. The very best of luck. You're doing fantastic work out there in New York. I dare say we'd love to have you back, but God knows all the fantastic work you're doing out there to keep everything going. And it won't be... We'll touch base again maybe in the next couple of months as well, just to keep us abreast. And sure, we're dying to know how you get on against Killard now. That's probably the most important thing that'll be talked about in North Kerry this evening, that Eamon Fitz is bringing this big gang from New York back to play the local Kilmoyle gang, and we'll see how that goes. Eamon Fitzgerald, thanks very much, and the very best to look in the couple of months and the years ahead. That was Eamon Fitzgerald, of course, doing fantastic work out there in New York on behalf of the GA out there, and you know what, doing a fantastic job. After the break, we talk Kerry Masters.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Because we're talking about the Kerry Masters. Three wins from three. There's a real sense of getting back to that All-Ireland final. I'm delighted to be joined by John O'Connor, and we have David Clifford on the line as well. John, three wins from three. It's getting very easy, isn't it?
I suppose I'm just talking to you there beforehand, Donal, we've three games played so far over the last month or so. I suppose we played Cork there in the first round, and it was a tight affair up in Kenturk. It was a tough, typical Kerry Cork battle. There wasn't a kick of a ball in it. 9-6 it finished, but a good tough game on a very warm night above in Kenturk. But the second game then was a little bit more straightforward, alright, again Clare, above in Clare Castle there 2 weeks ago. So we kind of came out well on top that day, and we got to give the panel a good run out. The most recent game, I suppose, was there last Saturday back in my van, Saturday evening. Very warm day, actually, but we came out on top 2-7 to 5 points. So things are ticking along nicely. We're not setting the world alight, but I suppose the graph is going in the correct manner anyway. You know, we're trying to build, you know, to get back to competing at the latter stages of the competition, like we did last year. As you know, we were beaten by Tyrone in the final. Tyrone are very extremely strong. They're a well oiled machine, and I suppose, look, one of the things we identified, that if we were to get to the level of the Tyrones and the Dublins, is that we needed to strengthen our panel. So there's a lot of new guys after coming in this year, you know, a lot of lads who are actually still playing club football with their clubs. You know, just to mention a few there, you've the likes of Tom McGoldrick there, and Flor McAuliffe still playing with Brosna. You've the likes of Jeremy King playing with Bale. You know, they've been massive additions. Sean Bourne, of course, is back, retired last year from Cremorne, so he's back on board full time with us. With the likes of Mikey Joe Driscoll there from you know, back down.
Say Mikey's Filemore, you can call it
Mikey's
out.
Mikey's Filemore, yeah.
That hits our target for this week, mentioning him.
That's it, yeah. Mikey Joe's a tough bit of stuff, I can tell you. And of course, you've the likes of Owen Darmody and Liam Poff there from Blenheville as well. And, you know, that's only just mentioning a few, but it definitely has really, we've noticed even our training sessions now, you know, we're training regularly. You know, it definitely, the ante has been up
and
this year.
It's the kind of thing, because at the start, when it started 3 years ago, I suppose, to be fair, it was about Dennis Kennedy putting a flag down and seeing what it's like and competing and the whole lot, and you learned a lot that year. And then last year you got to the All-Ireland final, as you mentioned, that Tyrone and Dublin are at the other end of the market, and, you know, they take it very seriously. But of course, they've invested nearly 15, 20, 25 years at this stage. You're on year three. How important, though, is it to kind of, like, if you're entering it and putting all that effort in it, obviously the All-Ireland is the thing at the end of the line. But to close that gap, you need a bigger squad. You need guys who probably train a little bit more regularly. And it's like you said, maybe fellas who are still kind of playing as well, they're not coming back after a 5 or 10 year hiatus either.
Yeah, like I suppose, you know, when it started out 3 years ago, like myself included, I hadn't played football for 3 or 4 years, so I had retired from Cairns or Achilles. It was kind of an unknown, uncharted waters, says the men. But you know, we kind of found our feet fairly fast. I suppose the one thing, you know, that we kind of learned an awful lot last year is that, you know, rolling on, rolling off the substitutes. You know, it's all about keeping fellas fresh. You know, taking guys on and off. And keeping it rolling, trying to keep your level of performance at an even keel right throughout the game. And I suppose you know, I suppose when it started out first, you know, Dennis, in fairness to him, out in my van, Dennis got it up and running. And you know, it was player driven, it was self managed. You know, it was good fun. But I suppose to go to the next level, you know, we had to get a proper management team in place. So we're delighted now this year that we have David Clifford from Kiel, not from Fossa, unfortunately, but David Clifford from Kiel and Paddy Howell involved with us. And you know, the lads have brought a massive level of enthusiasm and professionalism, really. I suppose, you know, it's kind of treated now like a club. Mm-hmm. Like we train regularly, you know, and you know, the level of training has definitely gone up a level from last year, you know. So it's great there that the likes of David has brought that. You know, David's involved there with development squads back in mid-Kerry, and you know, it's great that he's bringing that experience to the table, and it definitely has helped us. You know, so hopefully, look, we're going to try to keep the thing going now. Kildare in the next round, so I suppose that'll be probably 2 weeks' time. So it's just take it one game at a time, really.
Got you of all the mentors off, eh? One game at a time. You must have been an old manager, right?
we won't go there. We won't go to that.
That's all right. Come here, listen, we have David Clifford in line. We'll talk to him after the break. And David, you can be doing your notes, because I'm going to ask you about your 4 games already, or your 3 games already even.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk. We're here till 8 o'clock this evening. We're talking about Kerry Massels football, of course, and their fantastic run at the moment, 3 wins, and I suppose trying to get back to that All-Ireland final. David Clifford, you took over the Bonnish Door bib. The one thing that John was talking about maybe was the structure, and there's more training, and there's more, I suppose, people are on maybe the same playing page now. How important was it to kind of put that kind of organisation and structure in at the start of the year, David?
Hey, Donald, how are things?
Super, David.
To be fair, I suppose when we took it on, I was there, like I mentioned to you there a couple of months ago when we met. I was there last year, so I suppose that kind of broke me into really the main thing this year was to try and go a step further. So it was to kind of bring, I suppose, a small bit of professionalism to it, and to get a bit of structure and to make it more like a club. You know, we have a panel at the moment of 40 lads from all over Kerry, and I suppose to bring them all in and to make every fella feel as equal as the next fella is a big thing, I suppose, for myself and Paddy. Paddy's a great man there. I suppose we brought in a Tyrone man with us when Tyrone beat us last year. We brought in our own Paddy Telly, so we brought Paddy on board this year.
So not the real Paddy Telly, no, before the whole of Terrace Talk will be on to me.
No, not the real Paddy Telly, no, not the, but as good as, to be fair, he said, no, he's a great man, in fairness to him. I was involved with Paddy there with me, Kerry, for 2 years, so in fairness to him, when I asked him, he said he'd jump on with me, which is great. You know, the more hands we have there, it's trying to manage everyone and trying to keep it going. It is hard enough when we don't have our own pitch. I suppose we're around the clubs there looking for pitches all the time, and in fairness to Rahilly's and my own club, Kiel and Fossa, they're very good to us. They give us the use of the pitch whenever we want. So the big thing, I suppose, is to keep lads happy and keep them interested, I suppose, and keep the training up, really. You know, that's what we're trying to do every week, is to bring them things to training, I suppose, and just keep the boys fit and keep everything going.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's at the age profile where it's not mass defences, no matter what Paddy Telly you have. It's kind of kick the ball, move on, you know, and you have the roll on, roll off option as well. So that's why you need to have a big depth of panel as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, the roll-on is working. We found, I suppose, from last year even to this year, we have it even structured better ourselves now, I suppose. We even the last game now, every game is kind of different by us. The game against Galway, the way we had it even done is we knew who was coming on and what time they were coming on. I thought, like, you can tell one of the boys, then, look, you have 20-25 minutes here, give everything you can. We're going to be bringing someone else in for you at that stage. And then, look, there's an opportunity maybe to come back in again. I suppose we went out the last day out to Galway. We were fortunate enough to get ahead towards the end of the game, and we got it. We had a panel of I think it was 29 going out there. We had one injury outside, so 28, and all of them 28 played a part in the game outside, which is very, very hard to do. Mm-hmm. You can imagine yourself trying to get all these on. No, that doesn't happen, obviously, in every game, and it's hard for the players, and it's hard for us, I suppose, when fellas are given the commitment. But at the end of the day, look, we're still there to get results. Do you know, it's not a goal game, like I said to the boys. We're there to get results, and we have plenty of games, so, like, there's opportunities there. Look, we're hoping to even play a challenge game again now this weekend, and they are the games the fellas are still playing regular football. We're training once a week, trying to maybe up it to twice a week, and we're actually doing an extra bit of running that fellas have signed up for there for the month of June as well. Like, so I suppose from myself and Penny's point of view, it is great. Like, we thoroughly enjoy it. Do you know what? The boys enjoy it, and we're getting the results. There's nothing won yet, but we're going the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you must have mentioned enjoyment three or four times in that last couple of sentences, because I think, you know, there's a perception that the older you get, the grouchier you get, and, you know, that, you know, it's kind of like I can't walk and I can't run and I want to nail something with a shoulder. But it's not that kind of football at all. It's wide open football. And as you said, I mean, there's a lot of fellas that are playing this level that are talking out with their club probably at the weekend as well. So it's giving a longevity and maybe an extension to a career for fellas who want to stay fit and who want to play. And, you know, I suppose we're not all ready to retire at 40 either, are we?
Oh, 100%. And I'd say, to be honest, you know, we have players playing there at the moment that I'd say they're playing more football now than they probably ever were. They're playing with their clubs and they're training maybe twice a week with them, and then I want them to try and get them training with us, and I'm trying to bring them on board as much as I can. And they're definitely doing more now at the moment, but a lot of that is down to their own management, I suppose, in their own clubs and themselves, because they know what their bodies can do. And, like, there's no one at the moment, there's very little players that we have that they'll play the full 60 minutes for us, because you don't expect it. Now, we have one or two that'll probably play 60, maybe 70 if you ask them, but the rotation seems to be working well for us. Like, we can use as many as we can, depending on the panel, obviously. So, like, the more they can give us, the more we take. But, like, we have, I suppose, well, there's nothing at all won yet, do you know what I mean? And once they enjoy it, we do it. I totally enjoy it. You know, I look forward to going training. I hope that they look forward to going training with us as well. But once we're there, like, it's as professional as we can do once they're there with us, and that's what we want out of them. We hope that they take it back out of that as well. Like.
Mm-hmm. But I presume yourself and Paddy go home at the end of the Galway game and say, God, we left this behind us today and we could have done a bit more. You're obviously critiquing it like a match in the sense that we need to learn from what we're not doing and maybe make that right the next night of training.
Definitely. Like, the Galway game, now we have an awful lot to work on, to be honest with you, after the Galway game. Do you know, like John, I was saying there too, the Cork game was a good battle. Do you know, to be fair, we went up there, it could have gone either way. It was only one in the last 5 minutes, really, we got here over the line. The Clare game, to be fair, I suppose, look, there was no real competition there at the end of it. They played very well, in fairness to Clare, but I suppose we were slightly stronger than them, and we pushed on from that. So from them two games, obviously, we took from the Cork game to the Clare game. From the Clare game, what we got out of it, we put it back into training. But from the Galway game, we learnt a lot more out of the Galway game now, to be honest with you, than we did in the two previous games. So we'll be taking that. We're out again on Wednesday night, so we'll be taking a lot of things out of that we need to work on. And, you know, that's no more different to any team, whether it's Division 5 team, Division 1, or the Kerry senior team. They all obviously have things to work on, and we're likewise in the similar.
Yeah, and the way that the competition is structured, which is quite unique, you kind of play your little section and you play your games, and the teams that finish at the top move on to this level, and the teams that come second or third move to another level, and fourth and fifth go to another level. So the levels of the teams you're playing week in, week out, we'll mention Clare because we brought them up, like, even though they mightn't get into the top section, there's an All-Ireland somewhere or a Shield or something that will keep them going as well. So it's funny because week in, week out, you could be playing a team that's very good, and you could be playing a team that might be a small bit worse than you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, we the one thing about this, I suppose, is you don't, you'd know, obviously, the players, the county players that will be named on the teams that you're playing. But there's players that obviously on our panel there that would well probably deserve, they might play with any other team, any other county team that might have made it. You know what I mean? So, some of them players you don't know a whole pile about. You know, the Galway game, the last of the same thing. We're playing Kildare next. We don't know massively about them. Obviously, we're facing Dublin after that, which will be probably the biggest battle we get. Kildare might give us the same, and we have Limerick in the last game. So every team, you know, they're all big panels that are coming to play us. We have a big panel playing them, so it seems to be lifting every year. It seems to be getting more and more, you know. So we'll take it, I suppose, at the moment, once the boys are enjoying it, and once we're getting the results, I suppose we're going the right direction.
Absolutely, all managers want the right results. Listen, Dave, will you stay online for a moment? We'll take a quick break and we'll be back talking to yourself and John there in 2 minutes.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're back with Donal Barry. We're looking forward to our next game in the Kerry Masters. John O'Connor, Kildare next up. It's game number 4. It's a lot of games as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The format of it, Donal, is that you play 6 games and, you know, you accumulate two points for a win, and at the end of it, whoever has the most points, we'd say the top 4 teams will play off a semi-final to play in the All-Ireland, and the next 4 are seeded, and the next 4, you know, as you mentioned earlier, every team kind of gets to compete in a semi-final and a final at the level that they're at. So obviously we're aiming to go to the top table again this year. Kildare, yeah, we met Kildare last year in Limerick, and from what I can remember, it was a fairly robust game. The same night was fairly feisty, so I'd imagine that it'll be pretty much the same big, strong, physical team, and not afraid to use it either. So,
do you notice that when you're playing different teams, when you're playing Cork, do they play a certain way? Do they play Kildare? And that must be great for fellas who, I suppose, who never play kind of intercounty, and that's the other thing that we must stress tonight, that it's not former intercounty players. They can be former intercounty players, mm-hmm. but it's any person basically over the age of 40 on the year that you're playing. But do you notice that between teams? Because you said Kildare play a certain way, Galway probably play a certain way. Do you kind of enjoy that learning part of it?
Yeah, there's definitely different styles. I mean, Kildare are, like, I know from talking to my father would have played in Kildare a lot when he was stationed in his earlier years in the Guards. He played a lot of football up there. Kildare football is nowhere for the weakest, you know, the weak-minded person. They play good, tough, hard football, and it's the same at the Masters. After the game, there's never any problem. There's a shake hands, and, you know, but it is fairly competitive, you know, while you're out on the pitch. We talk about that 'tis there to be enjoyed and everything, but definitely the competitive edge, even though you're over 40 years of age, the competitive edge is still there. Yeah, it's still definitely there. Yeah, so just one thing I forgot to mention there, Don, was somebody mentioned it there earlier on about injuries, and just one guy there recently, Kevin Lynch from Castle Island Desmonds. Kevin would have been an underage prodigy, mm-hmm. there growing up in Kerry. I think he played 3 years minor, but Kevin unfortunately broke his leg behind in Kiel one night there training recently. So just on behalf of the team, I'd just like to wish Kevin a speedy recovery. You know, that's the one thing you don't like to see anything like that happening, because fellas have to get up and go to work in the morning. So I'd just like to wish Kevin a speedy recovery.
Fantastic club player back in the day. Kevin Lynch, remember, a lot of fellas back in around, so Kerry trying to mark him around the place. David Clifford, when you're looking in at some of the players that you have, obviously maybe you can cast your mind back and say, God, I remember John O'Connor there, he was a fantastic XY, or you can remember this fella, he was a right tough fella. What's it like to kind of manage all these kind of characters that you might have had, I won't say run-ins on the sideline, because we don't do that down in Kerry, but you might have had a few rough words every now and again with certain fellas. What's it like to meet these guys maybe 15 and 20 years after the fact?
I suppose the beauty of it, Donald, I suppose at this stage you've grown up a small bit. If that was maybe a little bit younger, you might hold a grudge, do you know what I mean? I don't think at this stage that any fella would hold a grudge for that length of time. But you know, there's a few players that are there. Obviously we had battles down through the years. I wouldn't have played much football, but I can remember a couple of fellas, alright, by right, that we would have had a few battles. But all in all, they're a great bunch, in fairness to them. You know, like, we have a big enough panel there, as you can imagine. 40 lads to manage to tough going, no more so, like I said, than any other manager that's managing a team. But you're trying to arrange trainings and stuff to keep them all coming and just keep them interested. But in fairness, I suppose the big thing is that we keep trying to tell them is, look, every fella can't get games. It's just totally impossible in tight games and that, as you know. So trying to get fellas on the field and get them off the field, that's a big thing. And you do feel for fellas when they're not playing, because they're putting in the effort, and you might be, you know, due to changes that you have to make and stuff like that, you might be bringing someone else in and things like that. And we try and rotate players maybe that we take off in the first quarter or the other. We might end up bringing them back on just to keep the legs fresh. It seems to be working for us at the moment. But look, I suppose you might talk to some of the players and they might be happy with the way we're doing it. We think it's working well. We seem to be tight at the moment. In fairness, everything is going well for us at training, and I suppose bar Kevin's injury there, we've had a couple of light injuries. You know, Kevin, in fairness to him, he's planning, if we get to an All-Ireland final, he's hoping to be talking out for us, so we're hoping to see, can he come back for us as well if he can. But so far so good. Like, you know, it's early days. We're only halfway there. We only 3 games played, I suppose, with 3 more to go. It'll tell a lot, really, and where we're aiming is to get back where we were last year and to go a step further, I suppose, and that's what was told to the boys at the start of the year. That's why I stayed on, that's why Petty came in with me, I suppose, really, is to get him over the line, and we hope for everyone's sake that that's where we'll get it. So, we'll keep going.
I remember years ago a guy telling me that if you have a happy dressing room, you're not doing your job at all right. You need a few fellas on the edge around the place and around the corner kind of talking about you, because they're trying to do the right thing, get in. Come here, David, we'll leave you off. We'll send the last one to John. An awful lot of names on that list. I suppose we were talking about trying to create the club structure and the whole lot. How difficult, though, is it in reality? I mean, like, you're kind of homeless in the sense that you get a field here and there. Mm-hmm. It probably makes it a bit awkward, because I'd imagine some of us travel a bit further one night for training and not the same distance the next night. Are all these things kind of just put in the back boiler because the guys that are involved kind of accept the challenges that are there? They're all GA people, of course, and I suppose, you know, you wouldn't be in the GA if you didn't have a challenge of some sort at some part of your life. Does that all that kind of just push to one side, and it's just a case that we get to the field, we'll put on the togs and we'll go and do a training session and have a bit of fun and try to be as serious as we can about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, even there's 4 or 5 guys there are involved in club management. You know, Johnny B. Braston is involved with Dingle, John Paul Lee, he's Belly Duff, Dave Curtin, Brosna, William Kirby with Sennins, and of course Aidan O'Mahony's with a club in Cork. So, like, you have all these challenges, but in fairness, even the likes of Mikey Joe there has to come up from the Glen, I think, is that where, right, the Glen, yeah, he's living in some nights.
He's in the neutral territory. He could be playing for Skellig or he could be playing for St. Michael's, so ask him that one the next night.
Yeah, but in fairness to Mikey Joe, I remember there back in April, the weather now was poor and trying to get pitches, but we got Brosna one night, and in fairness, Mikey Joe travelled up to Brosna. So I suppose that's what you call proper commitment, like, to the cause. But you know, in fairness, I suppose I have to mention the county board this year as well. They've been excellent, they've been very helpful, Patrick Sullivan there and Peter Twiss. You know, like, although we're not really affiliated to the GAA, the lads have been excellent to deal with and they've been very helpful, you know, and I just want to acknowledge that and say thank you. And you know, long may the good relationship last. You know, as you know yourself, trying to run teams and things, it costs a lot of money, like, you know. And at the moment, I suppose we're kind of doing a fundraising initiative there. We're looking for associative sponsors there, you know, team or businesses there, or people can contact kerrymasters@gmail.com, you know, if they're looking to plug their business. You know, Kerry Masters there will plug it on all the social media platforms before the games, and, you know, you know, you know, all the usual expenses there, coming buses and food and physios and referees and gear and all that crack. But no, I'd like to just thank all the businesses there. There's too many there to mention individually there, but I just want to say thank you to all those businesses, you know, that have donated, have given us money to date.
Yeah, absolutely, John, and long may it continue as well. And if you're out there, get onto the Kerry Masters social media, Facebook, Twitter, the whole lot. You get a lot more information there. John, listen, the very best of luck in the next night. David Clifford, thanks for joining us on the phone as well this evening. That's the Kerry Masters. They're out in 2 weeks' time, and you could do a lot worse than go and support them as well. I'm sure they'll have a couple of home games coming up around the corner. Stay on their social media and maybe go out, and you'll be quite surprised at how good the quality is as well. Keep up the the good work. Another person who has all the good work after 8 o'clock talks us with Mary Conroy, and fantastic effort tonight as well by Keane Darcy, jumping all over the place from Killarney to New York, back over to the studio. We don't know where Keane was as well, and the whole lot. And Ivan, of course, will be back next week, and we'll be back next week discussing Kerry and Louth.